Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and this morning I am with...
See, it is great to be a Florida Gator, Davis.
Even greater this morning, huh, T?
Yes.
Anyway, T, do you know what today is?
Today is...
It's a little bit of an anniversary.
April the 18th, 2016.
I bet you could never guess in a million years what today is the anniversary of.
It's 7:24.
Today,
a.m. Central Standard Time.
Since you are not playing the game, today, today is the 1 year anniversary of hashtag Anna K. Dave Bryan.
Oh Lord, no! I thought that was over.
It never ends, T. It might not be a success, but it never ends.
Oh, what a mercy! I think we should let that one go.
For anyone who does not know what hashtag Anna K. Dave Bryan is, and that would be a lot of you because when we started this a year ago, we had 2 subscribers on YouTube, and, and now we are up to 177.
Oh, no.
So, yes, that's going to be a lot of you that don't know what that is. That is a hashtag movement we tried to start to get myself a date with a famed actress, Anna Kendrick. It's still ongoing. I'm not giving up hope.
Okay.
Cause I just don't give. I don't give up that easy. People that know me understand that.
Okay.
So Anna, if you're listening,
she probably not.
Call me. Okay. Okay, moving on to the NBA. Eastern Conference, just kind of run down real quick. The Pacers stole home court advantage from the Raptors. Atlanta Hawks and Boston Celtics, the 4-5 matchup, looked like it could be a competitive series. Cleveland skirted by the Detroit Pistons yesterday. And the Charlotte Hornets. All day yesterday, I said, boy, look at Michael. He done finally developed himself a winner. They done messed around and got the 3rd seed in the East, and then they just got destroyed by the Miami Heat.
Well, let's be clear, the East is still the East. They're not very good. Detroit beat Cleveland, what, 3 times or something?
Yeah, I mean, they beat them a couple times this year, and they were talking about that yesterday. And Detroit is not a... It's not, talent-wise, it's not an 8 seed. I will say that.
But they are, it's about the matchups, and they don't have success against y'all, so they're not intimidated.
Right.
And so Cleveland going to be in a dogfight. Boston, Atlanta, both of them, that's a 4-5. That's pretty, that's just going to be a dogfight. Somebody got hurt, though, so that might hurt Boston a little bit.
And we talked about the Pacers yesterday when they upset Toronto. You were not surprised by that.
I don't think it was an upset. Toronto is Toronto, and that's all I'm gonna say about Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, if you handle their big two of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, which Indiana did, I mean, like I told you yesterday, what's his name? The coach of the Pacers ought to get coach of the year just off the fact that he can get Monta Ellis to play defense.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I see Indiana Miami playing in the next round. Look, I already moved to the next round. Sorry.
We had one game. Look, we had one game.
Yeah, and I'm just moving on my bracket on. Because Miami going to beat Charlotte. And this side is boring.
Yeah, let's move on to the more interesting side, the Western Conference. And I say more interesting, but Oklahoma City destroyed Dallas.
Well, we're talking about in the second round, boy.
Right, San Antonio.
Yeah, we're moving on to the second round. All these are going to be probably four-game sweeps.
Right.
Maybe Dallas, no, I think they're going to get swept, too. But if they don't, they might win one game. Clippers.
Yeah, San Antonio, they always get the fountain of youth about this time, and they have again. Looked very good against Memphis yesterday. Clippers and Trailblazers, even though Clippers won by a lot last night, I still think Portland could sneak up there and play with them, get a game, maybe two. Golden State destroyed the Houston Rockets, and Stephen Curry didn't even play in the second half with an injured ankle. They're saying he's questionable for tonight's game, too. I don't think there's no question. I think the question is whether they just want to sit him out or not, because do they really need him?
He'll probably play a half. It'll be a blowout, and he'll sit down. Because he's going to talk to the coach and cry and cry and cry, tell him how he's okay. And the coach don't give in, and then it's gonna be a blowout, and he's gonna be like, "All right, come on and rest."
All right. While we're on this series, I want to stay here for a minute. And I know we spoke about this on other podcasts here recently, but I want to bring it back up again because I'm watching him out there play for the Rockets, and
oh Lord,
Clark
Kent,
Dwight Howard, yeah, Clark Kent, exactly. Dwight Howard, his future. A lot of talk that he might be going, you know, he might consider going back to Orlando. I don't, for the life of me, understand why they would want him back.
Right. He might consider it all he wants. They don't want him. He can do all the considering he'd like. But why would they want him? They already got Aaron Gordon, which is the younger version of him. Why do they want an old version of him now?
All right, he's older. He's more broken.
You're not
going to
help them?
I can't even see him dunking. I've not seen him dunk a ball in forever.
Well, even with his attitude, because he still think he's good for some reason, whatever team chemistry they have, he would probably go down there and destroy it. So I would stay away from that.
You know what? I got the perfect place for Dwight Howard. Go sign a veteran minimum. No, for his attitude and the way he wants to be, go sign a veteran minimum. And,
not the Kings.
And go play with Sacramento.
No, that'd be terrible.
Yes,
him
no.
And Boogie would not.
Can you imagine him, DeMarcus Cousins, Rajon Rondo, all on the same team? George Carl be so glad he got fired. It won't even be funny.
Right. Whoever the coach is will be like, oh my God. No, he can't be with the team. Dallas might want him.
Yeah, because Mark Cuban will overpay somebody in a minute. Just to bring in some star power. And they wanted him before when he went to Houston.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Scratch that. I forgot about that fiasco with the Clippers. He might be like, I'm not going down that road again.
Right, having somebody tell me they coming and then
yeah.
In the 11th like, hour, they back up.
Crazy person.
After the Clippers employed the FBI, the SWAT team, and everybody else down to DeAndre Jordan's house.
A mess. And then he became all-star. Sim. First all NBA team. What? Maybe I ain't been paying no attention, but okay.
If you get on ESPN right now, there are some highlights of him last night's game where he completely misses the rim on on one free throw attempt. I mean, it's like he meant to shoot it that bad.
But this is what I can't understand, is how you can't hit the rim. even if it's a brick, you should be hitting the rim. It was,
watching it, I was like, did he do that on purpose? Because there's no way he could miss that bad on accident.
I mean, you're so big. You gotta be able to hit the rim. Give the team a chance to rebound.
Right.
Okay, and did you? I didn't watch any of the games, but what was LeBron getting some favoritism for real?
Stan Van Gundy thought it was. I could see it either way. I think it was a typical home team. It's the playoffs. The home team, the number one seed. Some questionable calls. Yes, they're gonna go their way. And you know me, I'm the first never to defend LeBron on anything. So it could have gone either way. That's all I'm gonna say.
So he got the calls that all started.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's revisit. I just saw that free throw. That's why I was laughing.
I know.
So, it wasn't a matter of shooting it hard enough because the ball went far enough. It just went to...
It went way right. Yeah. You know how they say things go way left? No, it went way right.
Wide right. Lord have mercy. Shoot with your right hand then. Maybe you'll make it.
That's that moment when things that go right go wrong.
That's unacceptable to me that you get paid millions of dollars to do one thing and you can't get better at that one thing.
That's too much time. That's too much time in the off season for him to go in there and practice them and get a rhythm down. Something. There's a way you can work around your big hands and
I mean, again, I always give Shaq a pass because he was bad, but when it came time, he would at least hit one or two. Yeah. And I don't recall Shaq ever shooting an air ball at the free throw line. That don't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
But this is, like, he's done this at least once every year.
An NBA player making professional money.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm just wait for the second round. I don't want to watch any of this. I want to see like the Clippers get their wish against Golden State because y'all cried about wanting to play them and y'all got y'all chance. Now don't go blow it. Go blow it.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens in the second round. But that's gonna bring us to our first break. On the other side, we'll get into a little Empire talk. Let's give us a little review of last week's episode and talk about what's to come and much more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Empire, Season 2, Episode 13, The Tameness of the Wolf. Episode starts off with Laura and the group is called Mirage et Trois, but I call them Laura and Mirage et Trois because she is acting more like Gladys Knight and her pips than actually, you know, them actually being a group. Because she's definitely the star. But they keep going over their time. And it's pissing off Tiana on tour. And for whatever reason, I don't know exactly what Precious Becky, I don't know what her title is. But I don't see her being the one that needs to be the running the show. Because she just looks like she's in over her head. You would think that somebody, because they got so much infighting going on with the family that they can't just have a family member out there running the show. But yeah, just Laura's going over her time. Tiana getting upset. Now I understand you can't put everything in because you only have so much time. But I don't understand how they have a headliner just walk out on stage and open up her set. I mean, even Beyonce gets carried out with flowers and Katy Perry comes out on a camel and whatnot. I mean, why Tiana just walks out on stage and waves at the crowd? Okay, let's get it started. Yeah.
That's a mess.
And then my other, you know, I told you this yesterday. I love when members of the Lion family, the boys, go out into, you know, elements that they're not necessarily accustomed to, although they want you to believe that they are. Jamal and Hakeem go searching in the hood for Frida Gats, because Jamal wants her to collaborate with him on his newest song he's working on. It's just funny because they just so, that's not them, even though they want to act all hard and stuff, that ain't their, I mean, literally the driver of their car, like I said, the driver of their car that's driving them into the hood has to tell them to tuck their chains and stuff, because, you know.
Yes, but you go out here and get snatched up.
So.
That's a
myth. Excuse me. So, Frida initially turns him down, because basically she's saying she's not trying to get in the middle.
Excuse, I don't mean to be rude. Just, oh, I'm sorry. When you said Frida, I had a moment.
Okay. Well, you know, it was in my head yesterday when I was writing these notes. I said that I was playing. I was so glad. See, that's why me and you think alike. We think too much alike.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, she basically tells him, no, she don't want to get in the middle of that beef with Lucius because it ain't got nothing to do with her. Until Frida is told later on in the episode that Lucius has cut her from the song and the video of his Boom 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 video because he's now switched directions. He never goes into specifics with her, and of course she don't really give him a chance. She just kind of storms out mad. So she goes, she meets with Jamal at the studio, they lay the track down, and you know, it's going to be a nice little song. The sun don't always shine. I'm sure you can Google it at this point, you know, iTunes. The sun will always shine. Excuse me. Let's see. Cookie and Lucius are doing preparations for his video, which causes Lucius to have those same old flashback with Mama Kelly Rowland. Mama Walker. Excuse me, Dwight Walker. Hakeem is meeting up with Laura and her parents. And he has a moment where Laura's father is talking, you know, so eloquently about her and how proud he is of her and everything she's done. And Hakeem just has this moment where he's kind of like frozen. And Laura's mother asks him, are you okay? And, you know, basically he's like, basically he tells him he don't really have that type of relationship with his father. You know, he never got those kind of words from Lucius because he hadn't. And Laura's father, well, I'm sure your father is very proud of you and everything you've done. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, no. Pretty much right now, his father's trying to kill him.
Right. They don't like each other.
Then we go back to, we flash back to Lucius and Cookie having a moment where he basically tells Cookie everything about what his mother did to him. And she has no idea about any of this, like the dunking in the bathtub. Fact that she shot herself, him staying with a neighbor, he runs away when he finds out social services coming, because in his words, I didn't know who social services was, didn't sound like nothing I want to be a part of, so.
That's good. He ain't no telling what would happen.
He became homeless, you know, living under that lion statue, as the story is told, got turned on to drug dealing and hustling by Frank Gathers, and that's when it all comes full circle. You see that, you know, Frank Gathers is the one that got him started on his hustle life.
Hustling, 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 every day I'm hustling.
All right, so Cookie talks him into doing the video and including all those details, you know, so make the video real, make it, you know, make it pop like that. Then we fly, we flash over to Tiana and them, and Laura and them's tour. Hakeem has joined the two ladies on stage and performed a song with both girls. Don't really understand the meaning of this. Because Tiana's fighting to have her shine not be upstaged by Laura, but yet here we go. She's on stage with her and Tiana and Hakeem doing a little three-man act. So yeah, didn't really understand the whole meaning of all that, but then we flash over to Cookie's birthday party, which kicks off with Cookie coming into the house. Lucius opens the door. Of course, at this point, all of her boys have basically told her, you know, Mom, we ain't gonna make it. Here's what we'll do. We'll have this done next day. Because they don't want to be around Lucius. So she's all sad, upset. And, you know, Lucius hollers out, hit it. And then Stevie Wonder's version of Happy Birthday starts playing on a piano from another room. And she goes busting in the room and all her boys and all the families there. And, you know, so Cookie says to Lucius, how'd you pull this off? And Lucius looks at it and says, I don't know. I guess they love you more than they hate me.
Right.
So, this is where, and it just all happens so fast. And like I said, I understand you don't have that much time. You gotta, you know, punch it all in there when you can. But Cookie immediately goes to showing everybody the rough cut of Lucius's video, which shows his mother going through her mental illness, and, you know, which turns out to be obviously bipolar. Which strikes a chord with Andre as he's watching. He gets up, turns the TV off. Him and Lucius have a big argument. And this is where Lucius, they're going back and forth. And Lucius tells him, well, you know what the truth is? My mother was a nut job. I was embarrassed of her just like I'm embarrassed by you.
Oh, Lord.
No.
That didn't go well.
No. So then a little later on, we flash out to the outside of the concert. Tiana and them concert, and the way they dressed, it looked like they were all, it was all the same concert, just different times of the show, I guess. Hakeem proposes marriage to Laura, and she accepts. They show Tiana in the background, kind of looking on, and it's like, it's one of those looks like she's upset, but then she's like, you know, kind of like an envious upset, like, that could have been me, you know, if I wasn't with females. And anyway, so
that was the dumb move on his part. He should have never did that.
Right. So, let's see. Okay, then we flash back to, you know, obviously right outside the Lion House, which this is another part I don't understand. This family has all this money. Andre obviously has stormed out. You know, he left the scene mad. Rhonda walking up the street. Why can't Rhonda get a car? You know, get a taxi, something. All of a sudden, you know, Boo Boo Kitty shows up and picks Rhonda up. You know, Rhonda's telling her about the fight between Andre and Lucius, and then she vents about everything going on between her and Andre. So Boo Boo Kitty basically gets her to come stay with her. You know, you come stay with me while, you know, everything going through everything, blah blah blah. So they ride off together. And, you know, obviously, like I told you in the previews for next episode, it's gonna come out that she's pregnant, little kitty that is pregnant with Hakeem's child. Anyway. So the next day in the studio, Freda Gats is in there, you know, her and Jamal are
putting down. Excuse, I don't mean to be rude. Just give me that mic, let me do what I do. Excuse, I don't mean to be rude. Don't wobble, 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 wobble. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, Freda and Jamal are in the studio laying down there, some more of that track. And, you know, Hakeem and Cookie are there, you know, watching on. During the song, Cookie hears Freda mention Frank Gathers. So, she halts production. She stops everything. And she said, did I just hear you say Frank Gathers? And that's when Freda says, oh, yeah, Miss Cookie, that's my daddy. He died in prison, blah, blah. And Jamal was like, oh, I knew he died. I didn't know he died in, you know, I didn't know he was killed in prison like that, blah, blah, blah. And, like, just like I told you, Cookie had this look on her face like she had gone from black to white. I mean, she was ghost white. She walks outside the studio and she kind of standing outside the studio door, and she has this look on her face like she just stunned. And that's how the episode ends. And of course, the previews for next episode, she corners Lucius about it. And, you know, how can you have that monster's daughter anywhere near our boys? I mean, if she finds out, she's going to kill them all, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I think, you know, like I didn't mention this before, but the whole Camilla and Mimi thing, they killed them off at the end of last episode, obviously. They have a memorial for Mimi, for Camilla. And don't even mention Mimi. Like, Mimi just wasn't part of anything. They had this whole memorial for Camilla, but, you know, no mention of Mimi at all. I'm just...
I don't know.
You know, I guess...
We never saw Mimi's face in that ward anyway.
Right, so she may not be there.
Well, I know Mimi ain't there.
Well, we're going to take another quick break. On the other side, we're going to get into a little discussion on the double standards of today's athlete. But that's that and much more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show.
What time is it? What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Today's athlete, T, is there a double standard on how we view, not necessarily how we view, but you know what I'm saying, with today's athlete?
The handling of athletes is a triple standard. Because get them all this, you know, we give them passes and all throughout their careers. They do a little things, and you just let them get by with it. They don't go to class. You let them get by with it and push them through high school. They get to college. They get the money. They get these passes because they do this, that, and the field. And we try to sweep as much of it under the rug because we don't want to bring shame to the school. Then they become professionals, and you can't hide much now. And then we just blow up at them. When you just made this boy a rotten child, how are you mad? For example, now we know Josh Gordon didn't just start smoking marijuana when he got to the NFL.
Right.
This boy probably been smoking and failing drug tests. And if he wasn't failing drug tests in college or high school, the way he can't seem to stop smoking, he's been smoking for a while. Somebody been knowing that he had a problem with the Mary Jane. But now that, you know, he blowing, you know, all these opportunities to make millions of dollars, Stephen A. and all these other people being so hard on him. But at the end of the day, he ain't hurt nobody but himself.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about the Aaron Hernandez is of the world, or the Ray Carruthers of Caruth.
Caruth,
that got people out trying to murder his pregnant girlfriend, or Tink Tink. I call him Tink Tink, the Blade Runner, whatever.
Yes, the
pure stories. Us, whatever. He out here murdered people, talking about he thought somebody was in the bathroom. You just shot out. Come on, bro. Come on. I'm so proud of London, England, or wherever he's from, for revisiting that, letting him get off with that, because that was ridiculous. You don't wake up and your spouse not next to you and you don't know it, and then you start shooting in the bathroom. That just made no sense to me. Got the doping stuff with, you know, the baseball players. You've been letting them get away with so much, that's why they kind of feel like they can get away with it. What was the bicycle guy?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance been doing whatever he wanted to do all these years. And y'all, how great thou art and everything. But then when he mess up, it's just like, you're just the worst person in the world. And I ain't saying any of these people were right, but they just a microcosm of society. They just happen to be outstanding athletes and good at what they do.
Yeah, and, because of that, we, you know, somewhat give them pass. Like Josh Gordon, there are teams right now who just wish he would stop doing, you know, marijuana and stop doing these things because they want him on their team so bad. And why do you keep giving these six, seven, eight chances? And they clearly are not going to change. But because they can catch a football and, you know, because they can run real fast, they're giving passes where the normal person wouldn't get those chances.
No, no. Joe Smo, you'd be like, oh, one strike. You might get two strikes. But with drugs, it's going to be one strike, and they're going to throw you in jail. Even Tiger, out here cheating on his wife and all these women. I mean, we could just run off a laundry list of people that's, you know, athletes that wild out and did some bad stuff. But again, we let them have these passes, and I say we, I hadn't dealt with no athletes like that.
Right,
but we as a society let them have a pass, and we shelter them, and we try to keep people, you know, we don't let so this person around them and this person around them. And with the AAU game and basketball, they use them. And, we just trying to let them have opportunities they wouldn't normally have. Most of these AAU coaches, I ain't going to say all, but the majority of them are out for what they can get, what coach they can say, oh, I got Coach Ariyama's phone number. Oh, I know Coach Krzyzewski, so they can name drop. Oh, I got a contract with Nike. It ain't nothing about you caring about how these athletes fare, because when they move on and no longer under your wing, you'll be happy if you can say, oh, yeah, he played for me, but if he don't, you just on to the next.
Right.
And so that's the triple standard of, oh, now I want you to be a role model. That ain't their job. The role model should be in your house, people that you see. Now, if they idolize them persons, that's one thing. But they're not role models. Because all they can look at those people and see is that they can play basketball. But how the people going to live their lives, they're seeing that in their homes and in their communities. Because don't nobody know nothing about COVID off the court. Unless, you know, he had the incident in Colorado or something. But other than that, you don't know what kind of person he is. Or LeBron. Mm. And then LeBron, what, he tweeted some girl? No, excuse me, DM.
Yeah, on Instagram, yeah.
Did the DM. And then it was like, oh, you know, what's going on with that? What did his wife say? Okay, it don't matter. He shouldn't be your child's role model because he can play basketball and he's a freakish athlete. Because you don't know what he's doing. Because I've heard stories that he's not a very nice person. From people that have lived in Cleveland and work in like restaurant industry, they're like, "Yeah, he's not a nice person." But by the same token, they was like, "Oh, Will Smith is a really cool cat. He kind of came to this, that, and the other. He was just kind of laying low, you know, trying not to be seen, basically, or whatever." So you just never know with these people. So stop letting your kids walk around talking about they want to be like Mike. For lack of better words, they ain't saying that no more.
Like, right. Well, they parents, it's not just today. I mean, this has been an issue when it comes to parenting. I mean, I know I'm not going to get into specifics, but, you know, and bring out names and stuff, but I know just when my dad was coaching, and he's been out of the game for, you know, he's been retired for years now, but I know when he was coaching, he would have trouble even getting his kids picked up from practice. He wound up having to bring most of his team home because, I mean, literally there was one time where there was a girl whose mom just was finishing up her stories at the house and was going to wait until her stories were done, regardless if it was an hour after practice or what.
So what kind of role model are you?
Right, I mean,
because whether she's seeing Lisa Leslie or Cooper Parker or Maya Moore or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
She can like how they play basketball, but she gonna model and live to that standard that you set and think that's acceptable behavior.
And so, they do, because, you know, you turn right around and those same old people have children now that are of age in high school and middle school playing sports, and I guarantee you they're probably treating them the same way that their parents, you know, went about treating them. And it's sad. And when does the cycle end? You know, when does someone have some kind of influence on you where you decide you want to be better for your kids than you were treated?
Well, it's tough.
Do you know that the way you were treated was not right?
Right. Because then, you know, we talk about our grandparents are getting younger, so now we don't have as much wisdom running around in the house as we would like. So it's hard for anybody to teach anybody.
The comedians are making jokes out of that now, like where, you know, the child is born into it where parents are 18, 16, 17, the grandparents are 34. I mean, great grandma is 40.
It's crazy.
You
know, parents be your children's role model. They gonna like athletes. That's just a part of what it is. I love Magic Johnson. And I didn't know, I loved him on the court. As it turned out, he was a good person, but he could have been a not so good person.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have put any kind of fingerprint on my life. Because I liked him as a basketball player, and then that was the end of it.
Yeah, you didn't care what he might have been doing, his transgressions off the court. You didn't necessarily feed into that. You were just worried about how he was as on the court.
And now in this day and age, you know, during that time in the 90s, nobody know. You know, you had to have somebody have some breaking story. Now people digging and tweeting and recording pretty much everything people do. Mm-hmm. TMZ got world class investigators all across the globe that finds out all kinds of information. So you can't hardly do much these days without it's like. And I heard somebody talking about this. I think Jalen Rose on his podcast. Like, how has it not come out what happened with Blake Griffin and the guy he beat up at the restaurant?
His quote unquote brother that he beat down.
Yeah, somebody in the restaurant saw it, somebody outside the restaurant saw it, some worker, something. How did that keep that quiet? That it still hasn't come out exactly what happened with that. So I'm still betting it was something about his sexuality was called into question or something, and he took offense to it.
Right. Will the cycle ever end in our lifetime? I don't know.
As long as people, you got the dude that, we have seen I saw pictures of what the dude that played for the Cowboys, what's the defensive end?
Greg Hardy.
What Greg Hardy did to that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Cowboys owner. Oh, he's outstanding. He's good in our luck. So as long as he can play football, they don't care about your off-court transgressions. Unless it's something that's going to wind up putting some damaging the shield, quote-unquote,
right,
or bringing shame to the team, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I just got to say one more thing. I saw this really, really nice commercial. And I don't watch enough TV, so it's probably been out. It's probably old. It was more like a PSA. And it was like, oh, you showed them how to hit a baseball. You showed them how to play hockey. You know, you showed them how to hit a three-point basket. And they had a father and a son. They played baseball. They was playing hockey.
Mm-hmm.
They was soccer. And at the end of it, it said, but did you ever tell him what not to hit? And then it's like violence against women.
I've seen that, yes.
And I was like, that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And so, then that's the question. I brought that up because Hardy. And it's a lot of these athletes. And I shouldn't say a lot. Rephrase. Several athletes, you know, been caught up with this domestic violence and all this. Did anybody teach you that hitting women wasn't okay?
Right. And that's something, like you said, can positively, I mean, you know, you can trace it back to what they grew up around. They saw that and they think it's acceptable, you know, when they were growing up.
But did any coach say that? Okay, hitting girls is not okay. Because sometimes in these inner cities, the coach is the closest thing to a father figure this guy don't ever see. So if the coach is not taking that responsibility, and he probably don't want that responsibility necessarily, or he maybe does, but he got to understand, like, a lot of these dudes don't have no dad.
Right.
And so they're looking up to their coaches. And if the coach ain't saying something about being a good citizen and a good person and whatever else, and all he talked about...
No, I was going to jump on that, right? What you just said, a lot of them don't have any father figures in their life, so their coach is the closest thing. And even if they don't want that responsibility of having that talk with their child, the easiest way for them to do that is look that kid in their eye. Because, you know, as you know, kids without fathers, they're very, very close with their mother. So, I'm not going to say all the time, a lot of the times. So you could very easily have that conversation with that kid, you know, being that kid's role model, and say, would you want someone doing that to your mother? And, you know, a lot of times that's where the conversation would really have to stop, because kids would register in their mind that, you know, no, I wouldn't want somebody doing that to my mom, so why would I do that to somebody else? Not always the case, but a lot of the time, you know, that could be where it stops.
So, yeah, they're getting out of control. I say they're getting out of control. Not they're getting out of control. It's some things that we can do as a society to help curb some of these issues. And a part of it is everybody taking their role and understanding that power that they have as far as doing these children's lives, that you can leave an imprint, and it can be a good one and not necessarily a bad one. So, yeah, we got work to do. Next week, we'll talk about forgiveness. I say that because if anybody's read The Shack, have you read The Shack?
The Shack?
The Shack. Uh-uh. Good book. Good book. And it's about forgiveness. It's not only about forgiveness, but the main thing is forgiveness. And so, it's on... some stuff we should talk about. I think it'd be an interesting conversation.
Okay.
How much do we think we can forgive somebody?
Right. But I want to end this episode just on a real quick question. It's something that just came to me this morning. And, you know, but when you dream about someone, are they dreaming about you at the same time as well?
No.
You don't think so? And of course, you know, when you Google stuff like that, you're going to get a lot of different studies. People supposedly done, and a lot of different studies out there that think that they are. But here's the thing. In all these studies I've read, nobody has actually gone and asked that person. You know, if you so vividly remember having that one person that obviously you know, or you've been in contact with at some point in your life, go ask them. I mean, yeah, it's an awkward situation because, like, you know, even if it is true that they're dreaming about you at that same point, they might not want to admit it.
No, it's people that's out there dreaming about Beyonce and she don't even know them. No.
never met them in her life.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a limb on that one and say, I ain't even going on a limb. I'm going to just stand on a branch and say no. I feel confident on this branch. No.
Okay, well, if anybody else is out there on that branch with T, y'all make sure y'all hold on tight.
Yeah, we good. I think we good. This is a pretty thick tree. I feel confident. We all right.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it is great to be a Florida Gator, Davis.
What time is it? And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.